Hey everybody, I'm Tony. Welcome to Finding Subjects Podcast. Each week I head out with my camera, find a subject to photograph, person, place, or thing, it doesn't matter, then interview or discuss that subject, and then share it all with you right here on Finding Subjects Podcast. Hey, how you doing? This is Tony. Welcome to Finding Subjects. Episode 80. 80. Wow. I'm trying to think back. The date we started this. Had this concept of doing a podcast. And I had that concept for a long time. Thought about it for a really long time. Didn't know much about doing a podcast. What you have to do. I ended up buying some books. I did some research online. Who to host it. What kind of equipment that I'm going to need. But most importantly, what it is that I want to talk about. And I think that's the key for anyone who wants to start a podcast, trying to figure that aspect out, what indeed you're going to talk about. Is it going to be meaningful to anyone? Is it going to make any sense? Is it going to serve any purpose? Is it going to make any sense to you? Are you going to be comfortable doing it? And that's something that I don't think it's for everyone. I am a very candid person. I'll tell you exactly what's on my mind. I don't care about sharing all that type of stuff. This podcast started out being called Finding Subjects Podcast because I used to have a little, photography blog, you could call it, Finding Subjects. And I had a nice little number of people following me and just appreciating the my photographs and me being able to appreciate their photographs. It was a cool place to be able to share pictures. It's just something that is really a big part of my life. Photography, I've always done it my entire life. I'm not a professional, but a lot of people aren't professional when they do some things, and that means I don't get paid for it, is what it means when I say I'm not professional. But I've been doing it a very long time, so I find a lot of enjoyment out of I'm going to turn this around for a second. I find it really enjoyable. I think it's a great hobby for people to get out and take a walk, take your camera with you. And nowadays, everybody has a camera with them in their cell phones. Most people do. So photography is very therapeutic in that way. You know, if you can disconnect the connect, is what I always say. Just get out into the world. And when you look closely enough, you would be really surprised at some of the subjects that you can find. And it's absolutely amazing. You know, how small and intricate some of the most fascinating things in this world are. So that was the onset of it. But what to continue to talk about? I knew what I liked and I knew what I wanted to do. And that was engage people in conversation. Travel, meet people I've never met before, and just walk up to everybody I met or everybody that I felt like walking up to and saying, hey, how you doing? What's happening? Who are you? Tell me a little bit about your life. I had a great opportunity to do that and traveled a lot of places. I don't know, maybe 30,000 miles worth of, not necessarily under my feet, under the wings, traveling to different locations. Scotland, Ireland, England, Iceland, back and forth to the East Coast, to the West Coast, to the East Coast, a couple times, Canada. Just got around a lot, and still, it's only half of the world. So what have I learned in 80 episodes? What I thought I would learn, which is 99.999% of the people I met are just like me. They're looking for a peaceful life. They want to have the ability to earn a living. They want safety and security. They want to be able to earn a living to provide for their families. They want their children to have an education. They want their children to be better than they are. It's a fascinating thing how we all want the same. Shelter, food, clothing, all the basics. All the basics and necessities in life. And we already talked about it a million times about how not everybody has those things that we take for granted every day, each and every day. But my goal was just to get out there and to visit these places, to visit different cultures, learn from people, open my mind and hear what they have to say about life. What is life for them? And then also hear about what they think life is for us here in the United States, of who we are what we do and what we're all about. You know, they only know, a lot of people only know about the United States from press and from the media. And conversely, the same thing. A lot of things that we know about the world, we only know from television and from what we're told. A lot of people don't have the opportunity to travel all over the world and see different things. And so that's what always piqued my interest way back from when I worked at the airport, you know, just watching the planes take off, or, you know, watching these people who've never been to the United States, for most of them, get off the plane and I'm the first person they meet. And it's just so cool, you know. So I've met tens of thousands of people that way, made a ton of friends. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know anyone that I've met that I didn't like or they didn't like me. It's all about your attitude and, you know, how contagious that can be, and being friendly and being kind to people, you know. And I know that's not everywhere. And I know that's the ideal aspect of it, how the ideal way it could work out. I've been to third world countries, and I didn't make so many friends because there was that barrier there. I was an American coming into their town. And when I tell you thatched huts with zero screens or windows in the holes where windows should be, and no front doors and dirt floors, you know, how do you relate to this American who shows up and he's got a camera, and a camera's probably worth, you know, not much to us, but to them is enormous. And there's that disparity with a lot of people in this world. So my goal for this podcast was to just, if I can, just to talk to as many people as I can and just to get out there. And I didn't interview as many people as I would have liked to if I look back. That would have been interesting to do a lot. But then also what it was about is this personal journal to my kids. Me talking, although I'm talking to you and I'm sharing this with you, whoever you may be, this is primarily, initially, for my children, for my children's children, for my nieces and nephews and great nieces and great nephews and sisters and family, period, and friends. Because I don't care about sharing this part of me and who I am. And who I am is very interesting to me, that sometimes I feel like I'm in a different century, man. You know, just the different ideals that I have in regards to respect for others and just, I don't know, a yearning for the simpler ways of life, for peace and understanding. And yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean I have to be from a different century or something like that, but I'm not a fast-paced guy. I might talk that way sometimes, but I'm a real low-key kind of guy. I don't know. I think the more things advance, the more backwards we become sometimes in regards to technology and such. And I was okay with how things were when I was a kid. I was okay being disconnected. Kind of miss those days. They seemed like they were a little bit more simpler. When you had to be home, and if your parents wanted you, they'd call your friend's house, and then their mom yelled out the window, and hopefully you heard. And if that's the case, then you had to get home. But there's also the positives of the technology, where it's really nice to know when my kids were younger where they were, and I could call them in an instant. So I don't know. I mean, this is where I am now, episode 80. So if I had to ask myself again, okay, Tone, episode 80, I remember episode 1. I believe that started in the desert, in Utah, in the middle of nowhere, sitting there in a Jeep. Then I got out of the Jeep and I walked to a place where I could just be alone on the other side of a ridge. My wife stayed in the Jeep and I said hello to you, and I described what was around me. And man, that was a perfect place for me. And right now I'm sitting in my truck. I'm surrounded by acres and acres of forest and rolling green hills. And it's just beautiful. And I'm alone. Again. With you. With my thoughts. And we're looking back and we're analyzing the past 80 episodes. if I had to ask myself all over again, okay, Tone, you're 80 in, what's your future hold? There are plenty of times where I really thought, I just don't have nothing more to say. And maybe I just pull the plug and just end it. I mean, I've considered that a lot. What more can I possibly say? But I guess, you know, if I were listening to my dad, I would want him to keep going. I'd want to hear more what was on his mind. I'd want to hear what he's thinking and share that with my kids. And maybe they share that with their kids. A lot of this thought process I obtained from a letter that we have, my mom made me a copy of. It's from my great-great uncle who was killed in the Battle of Gallipoli. That's me banging on the truck, by the way. That may sound familiar to you. Gallipoli was the name of a movie that Mel Gibson starred in, one of his first movies, about going into the First World War and then being shipped out to Alexandria, Egypt, and then from there going to Gallipoli, which is in Turkey, and just the kind of war that they dealt with there. My great-great-uncle was there. He was actually killed in Gallipoli in the Battle of Lone Pine. We have pictures of him. We have a letter from him to his father. He started out as a sergeant in Brisbane Police Department in Australia. And when the call came from England for the Great War for help, like a good, I guess they were kind of expatriates, but they still were loyal to the crown in a way, they signed up. Which is interesting because of our Irish background and my family. You know, I had some relatives from Cork, a lot of the family, and then a lot of the family was also from Northern Ireland. Just interesting there because a lot of things were happening in history that if you look at the time frame of what was going on in Ireland, just after the famine and such, and how different parts of my family kind of migrated, well, him to Australia and then others to Philadelphia area, but mostly to Philadelphia area. Really interesting to see that. Then I try to put together, okay, well, what was happening over in Ireland or England at this time? And it's very, to me, fascinating that my great-great-uncle went down to Australia. So there he was. He finds himself in the Battle of Lone Pine. And Lone Pine, probably the size of a football field. And on one end were timbers, like telephone poles, if you can imagine, strewn across as a barrier. And behind those, in the gaps, were machine guns from the Turkish army, pointing at the Australian and New Zealand forces, where they were called Anzacs. And my uncle, great-uncle, being one of those guys. And if you watch that movie, they would blow the whistle, and these guys would have to go up and over the wall and charge these machine guns. It was basically, it was just suicide. And then each wave just mowed down. And within that football field, from the history that I read, so many were just mangled, just bodies being unrecognizable. And yet some were recovered and actually buried. And my uncle, great uncle, was one of them. So he is buried there in Gallipoli, right where the Battle of Lone Pine took place. So I thought about that letter, and I'm like, man, how cool is that, that there is some traces of what he did in his life? If it weren't for them letters, if it weren't for that little speck of history that we know about him, we'd never know about him. And simultaneously, he had the tattoo of a poppy on his arm, and underneath it, it said, "Friends, forget me not." This guy's biggest fear in life was to be forgotten, in a way, so much so that he had this tattoo put on his arm that maybe subliminally he wasn't really thinking about it, but that said it all. Friends, forget me not. And I remember as a young child, I don't know, 10 or so, 11 or so, my grandfather handing me some of the artifacts, if you want to call it, from him. The death penny, which was a big copper or bronze coin, and it had his name engraved, and that's given to the families of soldiers that were killed in World War I. And I remember him handing it to me, my grandfather, and me kind of getting upset because he said to me, "This is your job to pass his memory forward. You have to promise me, this is why I'm giving it to you, that you got to make sure that this guy, our family, is remembered in this way by sharing the memory of him." Now, how do you do that? And I remember that this weight of responsibility being on me, and I think my mom or somebody's, I remember my mom or dad said, "What's the matter?" And I was just upset, and they didn't realize why I was upset. And I remember specifically this happening at their house on Gray's Avenue in Southwest Philadelphia. It was in the front room, and they had a little gap where you can look through and see the steps going up to the upstairs, the second floor. And I remember standing there and him saying, "Wait right here." And he brought the box down and he handed it to me. And I was like, to me, it was the weight of the world. Because I felt this responsibility when he told me the story of this man that was killed in a war, that is our relative, and that responsibility to carry that memory forward. How do you do that? I didn't know. I remember bringing in the medal and the death penny, as they call it, and the medallion, into school for show and tell. Nobody knew what that was. I mean, you pass it around. And you pass it back. "Oh, look at that. There's a big lion on there. You know, what's that?" I'll take a picture of it and show it to you. It's just a fascinating thing to me. But simultaneously, so much respect that went with it. So I just thought about that my whole life. And then I thought about how the heck am I ever going to share anything about this guy? And so I remember on the internet, you know, finding the Anzac Memorial and sharing some of the information with them. And then I remember thinking about this podcast, of starting a podcast, and like, you know, that would be cool to share with people. Something about this guy who died over 100 years ago. 1914, he passed away. So you're talking 106 years ago, we're talking about somebody. Imagine if he would ever figure that out, never knew that. That 106 years into the future, I'd be sharing his story on this thing called a podcast with people all over the world. I just think that would have blown his mind. And there's another part of me that hopes that people can kind of see what's happening down here. People that we lost, our loved ones. How cool would that be? But anyway, it feels cool to me to be able to share this story with you. So it segues into this letter that he wrote to his father, Mortimer, who was living in Philadelphia. His name is Joseph O'Sullivan, by the way, my great-great uncle. Tony's got relatives that are so Irish, it's not funny. I get zero credit for being Irish. My first name and my last name are so Italian, it's not even funny. But I'm trusting, rest assured, I'm half and half. Which half, I won't tell you, but half and half. Anyway, so there it was. So that was kind of a back thought in regards to the podcast, like how I was going to do this and what I was going to talk about. And I, again, it being this personal journal to my kids, I thought that was important to talk about. So then simultaneously, it kind of segues into, okay, this is kind of my letter, but in 80 episodes, 80 parts. To my kids. All these crazy stories going back to Iceland and being in a Zodiac and flying on that little boat, Zodiac boat, and going out to an iceberg and seeing a glacier and seals out there and just going up to the volcano and walking into the volcano and just crazy stuff. Being in castles in Scotland and Ireland and England. Just fascinating trip. Meeting musicians from all over the world, interviewing them. Just interviewing regular people, interviewing rich people and poor people and people of all types of colors. It was just fascinating to make so many friends. And a lot of them I still keep in touch with. What an amazing journey. And so here I am, kind of like right back at my origins of where is it going to go from here? I remember hoping and praying on this podcast. And what I hoped and prayed for were that, number one, I didn't make an idiot out of myself. But number two, that in some way, I'd make a difference to someone. In some way, hopefully someone would listen to or hear something that I had to say, and it would matter. By sharing my life and by sharing my feelings and the things going on in my life, in some way, would it be helping someone? And I've gotten very nice email messages from people saying thank you. Like, I needed to hear that. And so the message, after 80 episodes and after praying, and yes, you know I'm a spiritual person, after praying to God for direction, for even beginning this for half a year or a year, however long that was, and then just having the courage, you know what? Just do it, dude. Just be you. Just be yourself and just talk. I would have to say that the message is still the same as it was from day one. That I would still pray and hope that we can all respect each other, be peaceful and kind and empathetic to each other, to be understanding, to sometimes be quiet and to listen to someone else, to be understanding and patient. And in that way, maybe we can get along a little bit better. And I had this little conversation the other night with my daughter. I talked to her about the podcast. And she knows how I feel about people. We were driving down a street and I saw this old lady, and I see her all the time. And she carries all of her belongings, and it just breaks my heart, man. I'll be straight up with you. It's hard to see. And you know, she said to me, "Dad, you're different that way." She said, "A lot of people don't see what you see." And I looked at her. And I said, "What do you mean?" You know, and she's like, "It's really cool what you see. Your kindness and your concern for others shows your ability to be empathetic and understanding and patient with a lot of people that a lot of people would not normally do." And that my kid picked that up about me, that was just a big moment for me. It meant a lot to me. We think our kids don't grasp where we're coming from, right? They don't see where we're coming from. Let me check my time real quick. Hang on one second. Oh, I'm so blind. Where are we? I could edit this. 24, we're good. 24, so I got 6 minutes. Okay. We think our kids don't understand, or they don't really listen to what we have to say. Trust me when I tell you, they know everything about you. An intruder just came by on a motorcycle. It was so peaceful. And I'm proud of her. And I guess I'm proud of myself for emulating what I do, because she's that way as well. Peace. Anti-hatred. Godlike. What would Jesus do? What would God do? I thought about that for a long time. How easy it would be if I did not believe in God. No rules. Do what you want. No moral compass if there's no penalty. Why bother? You want something, you take it. Basically Wild West. Basically in the course of history, that's how a lot of people got what they wanted. I'm so against this hatred of each other. I spent 3 days watching the History Channel, and then I had another talk with my daughter. And she just smiled at me. Because she knows how stubborn I am sometimes and how thick-headed and I can't even say the word I want to. Steadfast. Dogged. And when I want to accomplish something. And did I really think that I had a chance to abolish hatred in this world? And I sat there and watched the History Channel and I read some excerpts of different books that I have about just history, about the hatred that has gone on since the beginning of mankind, and like I'm really going to do something about that. I'm sorry, I crack myself up a little bit more than you probably find me humorous. But think about it. Think about this. And this is what I think about. I remember the very first episode when you're learning how to tweak all the buttons and to set things up and what recording frequencies is going to be at. And there's so many little details in regards to broadcasting and capturing sound and different settings that you have. And through all that and all these attempts at trying to figure this all out, I remember thinking, man, I hope I get one listener. I just hope one person. I hope I don't know them because I don't want anybody judging me. That was many, many, many people ago. Many, many listens ago. So where I'm coming to for my last 3 minutes in regards to this show today, I just want to thank every one of you for the time that you spend sitting here listening to me. Listen to me talk to myself about, talk myself out of problems. Just talk my thoughts out loud and you being there listening. I just want to really thank you for your time. When I look at the numbers and how many people have actually sat there and listened to something I had to say, it's just amazing when I think of different venues like the Spectrum in Philadelphia. And how I dreamed, someday I want to play there. I can't imagine 18,000, 20,000 people listening to me. Well, guess what, dude? You're past that. And that just blows my mind. So thank you so much, is what I want to say to you, for listening to every show that you have. Thank you so much for sharing the show with your friends and family and your maybe people you don't like, you just want to ruin their time.
Listen to this.
Or maybe there's humor there somehow that you're like, I cannot believe this dude functions in this role. I don't know what you think. It's okay. But thanks for listening. And thanks sincerely. Thank you for being there. Thank you for taking your time to listen to something that I have to say. Hopefully you find it slightly entertaining or really entertaining or meaningful or helpful. I don't know. And you're always welcome to shoot me an email just to say hello or any suggestions for the show. I'm doing my best here. I think I'm going to continue on with it. My goal initially was 100 episodes, and then I would reevaluate. The last few have been hard because of everything that we're going through this time in this nation, in this world. But number one, first and foremost, we really got to be there for each other. And I'm going to continue with the same message that I will always have for us all, is to please be patient with each other. To please step back. Stop the hatred. Stop the violence. We are all human beings with very similar needs. But we all do not come from the same socioeconomic backgrounds. We got to be understanding about that. Listen. Understand. Be kind to each other. But most of all, and this is something I said to a buddy of mine the other day, you know, about respect. Everybody in my life starts out with respect instead of, you know, how you say, oh, you got to earn respect. I initially give everybody respect and it's yours to lose. A lot of people have lost it, but a lot of people have gained it even stronger. That's episode 80. Hopefully I made some sense to you all. Again, I want to thank you very much for being there. Hey, stop by Instagram, please. Stop by Instagram, please. Somebody asked me, why do you sing Instagram? Instagram. I don't know. I just feel goofy sometimes. Finding Subjects Podcast on Instagram. Finding Subjects Podcast on Twitter. Guess what? I've been tweeting. Is that what you call it? Tweeting? Twittering? Tweeting? I know. I'm so old. Who cares? I've been tweeting. I've picked up a lot of friends tweeting. It's really cool. I've met a lot of really cool people, so check that out as well. I don't say things often. I'll tweet a picture or twit. What do you twit or tweet? You know, I do that Twitter thing. Jesus. Oh, man. No, I don't do drugs. I told you that before. Hey, also, Finding Subjects on Facebook. They all link together. It's all fun. Hey, thank you again. I'm going to let you get going. I'm going to listen to this. Hopefully, we'll put it up. But, hey, 80 episodes. Thank you so much for listening. I really mean that. It's been great. And, again, we'll reevaluate at the next 20. Get to 100. We'll have a party. I'm trying to get some more guests on, but it's hard, man. With social distancing and stuff. You know, everybody kind of leery about being around other people. And, you know, honestly, you know, to interview different people, I don't want to talk to anybody right now. Because everybody's hating everybody. Please don't hate each other. Anyway, that's all I got. Have a great day. Thank you for being here, and I'll catch you later. See you. This is Tony from Finding Subjects Podcast. Thanks a lot. See you later. Take care. Bye.